I was bone tired and starving that snowy night. The road was a treacherous white blanket, and visibility was near zero. My hands gripped the steering wheel until my knuckles turned white. Relief finally washed over me when I saw the neon glow of a McDonald's sign in the snowstorm. I pulled into the empty parking lot, parked my car, and trudged through the thick snow. Inside, the fluorescent lights buzzed with an irritating hum. The place was eerily deserted. Only two employees worked quietly in the kitchen. I shrugged off the uneasy feeling creeping up my spine and walked to the counter. A young man with greasy hair and a vacant expression took my order, and he barely acknowledged me as he punched in my meal. I found a seat by the window, the snowstorm raging outside. The heat inside made me feel slightly drowsy, but I couldn't shake the feeling that I was being watched. As I waited for my food, my eyes wandered to the corner of the restaurant, where a clown statue stood. It was a typical Ronald McDonald figure, grinning eerily with his oversized shoes and bright red hair. I shivered and looked away. Minutes later, I heard a sinister laugh echo through the empty restaurant. I jerked my head up, but the two employees continued working as if nothing had happened. The laugh sounded again, this time closer, more menacing. I rubbed my arms, trying to ward off the chill that had settled over me. The lights flickered, and in the brief darkness, I saw the clown statue in a different position, its head tilted towards me. My heart pounded in my chest.
Did you guys hear that?
The employees didn't respond. They moved mechanically, almost if they were in a trance. I turned back to the clown, but it was in its original position. I took a deep breath, trying to calm my racing heart. My food arrived, and I forced myself to eat, but the unease gnawed at me. Halfway through my meal, I noticed a message written in ketchup on my tray. "Don't trust Ronald." My blood ran cold. I looked around, but there was no one else in the restaurant. The employees were still in the kitchen. I felt a presence behind me and spun around, but there was nothing there. The lights flickered again, and in the brief darkness, I saw the clown figure standing in the corner, watching me.
This isn't real. It's just in my imagination.
I whispered to myself, but the fear was real, tangible. I glanced at the window and saw the clown's reflection grinning wickedly, but when I turned to look, it wasn't there. My breathing became shallow. I was panicking. I had to get out of there. I stood up, my legs trembling. The restaurant seemed to close in on me, the air thick and oppressive. I stumbled towards the door, but before I could reach it, the employee stepped into my path.
"Are you okay, miss? You look like you've seen a ghost."
His eyes were dark, almost predatory. My instincts screamed at me to run, but my feet felt like stone. He smiled, but there was something off-putting about his smile.
"If you'd like to accompany me back to the kitchen, I might have some extra chicken burgers for you on the house."
Something about his tone, his expression, sent a jolt of terror through me. I forced myself to speak.
I don't know. What's your name?
Come on, it'd be a shame to waste good burgers.
I was hungry, so reluctantly I agreed.
"You're Teresa, right? I remember from the order."
"Yes. And you are?"
"Ronald. Sorry, I forgot my tag today."
My blood turned to ice. The message in ketchup flashed in my mind. I backed away, shaking my head. His smile faded, replaced by a cold, calculating look. I turned and ran, my heart pounding in my ears. I burst through the door, the cold night air hitting me like a slap. But I didn't stop running until I reached my car. I fumbled with the keys, my hands shaking uncontrollably. I finally managed to unlock the door and threw myself inside, locking it behind me. I drove away as fast as the snow-covered roads would allow, not daring to look back. My mind raced, replaying the events in a nightmarish loop. A week later, the news broke. Two employees at that McDonald's had been arrested for the murder of three women. Their bodies were found preserved in the freezer. One of the employees was named Ronald. The news confirmed my worst fears. I had been inches away from becoming their next victim. I like to believe that it was the spirit of one of the victims which saved me that day. Tom was always a bit off. Working the night shift at McDonald's alongside him, I saw things others didn't. He was quiet, always muttering to himself under his breath, eyes darting around as if he expected the walls to close in on him. He had these weird tics, like he'd tap his fingers rhythmically on the counter, almost like Morse code. Or he'd suddenly start laughing at nothing, a low, creepy chuckle that sent shivers down my spine. I often wondered what had led him to this point. I knew his personal life was falling apart. Parents' divorce, drug abuse, and a mountain of debt. He lived in a constant state of stress, barely holding it together. Still, I didn't expect things to unravel the way they did. That night, it started like any other. Tom was taking care of the drive-thru counter. It was around 10 when a car pulled up, music blaring, drunk passengers inside. "Welcome to McDonald's. How can I take your order?" Their order was a mess of slurred words and giggles. Tom and I exchanged a look. This was going to be a long night. "That'll be $23.47. The driver, a guy with a baseball cap, turned backwards, handed him the money, then looked at his friends and spoke something about him. Tom kept to himself and handed them their burgers and Coke and coffee.
"Hey, you got our order wrong, idiot."
Tom's eyes twitched, but he remained courteous that the order was right. The drunk guy insisted again, and this time threw a cup of hot coffee at him. The liquid scalded Tom's face, and he recoiled in pain, a guttural scream escaping his lips. The car erupted in laughter, and that is when something in Tom snapped. He turned on his heel and walked out the back door. I froze, not knowing what to do. Moments later, I heard the unmistakable clang of the tire iron. Tom had taken it from the maintenance shed. He approached the car with a look of pure, unadulterated rage.
"What the hell, man?"
Before anyone could react, Tom swung the tire iron, connecting with the windshield. The shock driver opened his door, but as soon as he walked out, the iron rod met his skull. The sickening crunch of bone echoed through the parking lot. Blood sprayed across the side of the car as the driver slumped, lifeless, against it. Panic erupted. The second friend, a tall, lanky guy, tried to run from the other side. Tom jumped over, caught him by the collar, and smashed him headfirst into the window.
"Tom, stop!"
He didn't. He smashed the man's head in the glass again and again till the cracks spread all over it. The man fell with a bloodied face, and then Tom picked the iron rod again and hit his head till it was smashed. Tom's face was a mask of twisted satisfaction. The two girls who were still in the car now attracted Tom's ire. He opened the rear door of the car and tried to pull one out, but she bit him and then proceeded to lock the door. Tom picked up a brick, his eyes locking onto hers, and then threw it twice at the window glass, which refused to shatter. They whimpered, tears streaming down their face.
"Please don't."
I wanted to run, to get help, but my legs felt like lead. I dialed 911. Tom walked to the shed and returned with a can of gasoline, which he poured over the car, throwing the remaining one on the driver's seat.
"You think you can treat people like trash and get away with it?"
He struck a match and tossed it onto the car. Flames erupted, engulfing the vehicle in a roaring inferno. The screams from inside the car were cut short as the explosion rocked the parking lot, heat searing my skin even from a distance.
"Tom, why?"
But he couldn't hear me. Sirens wailed in the distance. Tom dropped the tire iron and got down on his knees, laughing maniacally. The police cars soon surrounded us.
"Release, release, release,"
he kept on uttering as a policeman handcuffed him while the others tried saving the girls. I just couldn't stop crying. My mind was numb upon witnessing the horror that had transpired. Tom kept laughing like a maniac as they put him under arrest. The parking lot was a scene from a nightmare. Bodies, blood, and the smoldering remains of the car. I'll never forget the look in Tom's eyes, the cold, calculated fury that had driven him to madness. It wasn't just the coffee or the insults. No one truly knows what one goes through one's mind. I'd always been cautious about dating apps, but when Brock's profile popped up, there was something endearing about his awkward smile and honest bio. We had exchanged messages for weeks, and I felt an inexplicable connection. That's why, when he asked me to dinner at McDonald's, of all places, I found it quirky rather than off-putting. I didn't know then that it would be the worst night of my life. The evening started normally. Brock was a tall, lanky guy with tousled brown hair and eyes that flickered with a hint of nervous energy. He seemed pleasant enough, but as we waited in line, I noticed him fidgeting, glancing around like a trapped animal. I brushed it off as first aid jitters until he saw the clown. McDonald's had a man dressed as their mascot, Ronald McDonald, moving from table to table, greeting families. The moment Brock's eyes landed on him, his entire demeanor changed. He went pale, and his breathing became rapid and shallow.
Are you okay, Brock?
That clown. Why do they have moving mascots?
I didn't understand what he meant, but I tried to calm him down. We took our seats, but his eyes never left the clown. He barely touched his food, mumbling under his breath, his hands trembling. I could see sweat beads forming on his forehead.
Brock, talk to me. What's going on?
He's watching us, Lisa. He's here to get you. I have to protect you.
You're kidding, right?
One of them had me as a child. Never again. No!
I thought he was joking, but his voice had a desperate edge. When the clown approached our table, Brock's reaction was immediate and terrifying. He lunged across the table, knocking our trays to the floor, and grabbed a metal tray stand.
Stay away from her!
The clown, bewildered, took a step back, but it was too late. Brock swung the tray stand with all of his might, striking the man in the head. Thud! The clown cried in pain, people screamed, and parents shielded their children's eyes, but Brock didn't stop. That is when I knew that there was something wrong in his head.
Brock! Stop, please!
He didn't hear me. Blood poured from the clown's head as he collapsed to the floor, but Brock kept hitting him, each blow more savage than the last. I could see the life draining from the man's eyes, and it was horrific. People tried to intervene, but Brock turned on them, swinging wildly. He grabbed a chair and smashed it over a man's back, kicked a woman who tried to pull him away, and even threw scalding hot coffee at a bystander. Two men grabbed him from behind and offered momentary respite to the clown, but Brock was strong. He pushed his weight on one man and crashed him into the wall, setting himself free. He then punched the other guy in the face, knocking him out cold. Then he looked at the bleeding clown and lunged at him, sitting atop his chest and hammering punches on the poor man's face again and again. The restaurant was in chaos, with screams and cries filling the air.
Brock, stop! You're hurting people!
I tried to pull him back, but his strength in that moment was monstrous. He shoved me away and I hit the ground hard, my head snapping back. Pain exploded in my skull, and I felt a warm trickle of blood down my neck. I knew I had to call for help. My vision blurred as I fumbled for my phone, dialing 911 with trembling fingers. I didn't really hear what the operator said. I watched Brock continue his rampage. He had grabbed a knife and was stabbing the clown's lifeless eyes while yelling out loud. It was beyond gruesome. It was a nightmare come to life. I could hear sirens in the distance, but it felt like they were taking forever. When the police burst in, Brock was still in his frenzy. They shouted at him to drop his weapon, but he didn't listen. It took several officers to subdue him, wrestle him to the ground as he screamed about the clown coming for us. They had to tase him twice before he finally fell down. The aftermath was a blur of flashing lights, paramedics, and police questions. Newspapers later reported that Brock had been diagnosed with schizophrenia as a child. He had a profound fear of clowns, stemming from a traumatic incident. The stress of our date and then unexpectedly seeing the mascot there must have triggered a severe psychotic episode. This was, without a doubt, the worst first date anyone had ever been to in her life.